Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Your Health is Your Wealth with your host, Rashad Suni El-Amin. As you all know, I'm a holistic educator and a naturopathic practitioner. I thank you all for tuning in this evening. And I also thank Imam Alfred Muhammad, who allows me this spot every Thursday, now at 7 o'clock. And I wasn't aware that the time had been changed, the show time has been changed to 7 o'clock. I thought it was at 6, and I called in, and they said I still had an hour. And according to Imam Alfred, he said no, he had a change because of his schedule. So for me this evening, the show may be cut a little short, because I have some other things I have to attend to. So next week I'll be prepared to do the full hour and a half. Again, thank you for listening. I always suggest everybody to have a pen, pad, or a pencil available to take notes, because the information that we share with you here is very valuable. And, of course, we also ask that you ask your family members to tune in, friends, co-workers. Ask them all to tune in so they can also benefit from this program. Again, I thank you. Okay, we have a few things we're going to touch on today, but I always try to start with some little tidbits before I get into the major topic that I have for you. So we're going to start speaking about the Mediterranean diet. And myself, I follow that almost to the T. Not that I ever studied it to see what it was, but when I did look at it and found out what the Mediterranean diet was, I was basically eating that type of diet. Believe it or not, yes. It was very close to what they have. And my health has been beautiful. I've been practicing this way of eating for 30-some years, and the benefits have been rewarding. I'm telling you, you feel so good. Your body feels so good. You feel like you have a new lease on life. When you eat properly, you live properly, your lifestyle is right, you can't go wrong, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you. But just a quick note on the Mediterranean diet. They have a large, rigorous study published in the New England Journal of Medicine that confirmed the health benefits of those who switched to Mediterranean diet. Because, as you know, the Mediterranean diet is rich in omega-3 fish oil, as well as protective nutrients called polyphenols, which are found in olive oil, fruits, vegetables, nuts like walnuts. Yes, and, you know, those of you who listen religiously, I always speak about olive oil, how great olive oil is. Extra virgin olive oil, organic and from Italy or from Sicily, where you know you're getting 100% olive oil and not some oil that's mixed with chestnut oil like those from Turkey and from some South American countries, which are not pure olive oil. Spain, you may get some extra virgin olive oil. Even some of the oils from that country are mixed with chestnut oil. So you want the real deal. And always buy organic. That's the best. I always suggest organic. That's the best way to go if you want good health. Anyway, the study ended early because the benefits were so overwhelming with startling benefits for vascular health, that it was considered, you know, unethical, to continue to deprive the control group. So in addition to the health-promoting benefits of vegetables and fruits with their abundance of polyphenol nutrients, the Mediterranean diet group took at least 4 tablespoons of polyphenol-rich extra virgin olive oil a day. Yes, they were taking that 4 tablespoons of olive oil a day in which they received this benefit. Now, you don't have to have 4 tablespoons. I know myself, I have at least 1 tablespoon every morning upon rising after I have my water and certain supplements. I take a tablespoon of the oil and also use it in my salad. I try to have a salad every day, and I just use extra virgin olive oil in there. I try not to use any dressing or any of that type of thing, which to me just covers the real taste of the vegetables. And you want to have something that on there where you can still taste the greens, the tomatoes, and the cucumbers, the onions, or whatever. So I suggest olive oil for your salad. And the walnuts are great, too. A lot of studies have shown how great it is for your heart, which has the omega-3 fatty acids. A lot of people think it's you only get omega-3 fatty acids from fish oil. Not so. The flaxseed has shown to be equivalent to fish oil as far as omega-3s go, and the walnuts also. So you can benefit from that if you don't care for the fish or the fishy taste. Try those. But I just wanted to share that tidbit with you because this is great for your heart, for your veins, your arteries. This is what you need. Something that's natural, made in nature, not some artificial man-made nonsense that these markets are now selling. You don't want that. You want the real deal, real food for real people. That's what I always say. So anyway, let's go to Lou Gehrig's disease. The same omega-3s, they say, may reduce the risk of Lou Gehrig's disease. That's ALS. And an article also published in the Journal of the American Medical Association of Neurology reports that those who consume high levels of omega-3 fatty acids had a dramatically reduced risk of developing amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease, in a meta-analysis of 5 large studies. Now, Lou Gehrig's disease, you would never want to have that. It's said, I have a friend here, a brother I've known for many years, and I'm not going to mention his name, but this man, excellent shape physically, mentally, but he came down with ALS. And it's just sad to see him in a wheelchair. He's wheelchair bound. He can't even feed himself. He just can't do nothing. People have to tend to him 24/7. And it's sad. It is really sad to see someone who is vibrant health, physically fit. Only God knows what's going to happen down the line to you. And it just hurt to see that. And I just pray somehow he can just use his mind to help maybe reverse this condition because, you know, the mind is very powerful. And if you have the right mindset, you'd be amazed at what you can do. But anyway, it's a terrible disease. But anyway, the researchers analyzed the diets of over 1 million participants for a period of 9 to 24 years. And during this time, 995 individuals were detected with ALS. So omega-3 fatty acids have been shown to reduce inflammation and oxidative stress on cells, and both of those processes damage nerve tissues and have been linked with ALS. In the study, individuals with higher dietary intakes of total omega-3 fatty acids had a reduced risk for ALS. And that was by the lead researcher, Catherine Fitzgerald, of the Harvard School of Public Health in Boston. So those in the top 20% in terms of their omega-3 fatty acid consumption reduced their risk of developing ALS by one-third compared to those in the bottom 20%. So keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. You see, whatever God makes, the natural things, it's like food is your medicine. Food is your medicine. If you want health, you have to eat real food, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you this, the man-made artificial foods these days are destroying our health, and a lot of us just think that diet has nothing to do with it. Diet has everything to do with it. So keep that in mind. Another tidbit I'd like to share with you, and this study is on vitamin D. They say that vitamin D boosts survival rates of colon cancer patients. And the results of a study reported in the Journal of the Clinical Oncology, found that colon cancer patients with the highest levels of vitamin D in their blood had half the risk of dying when compared with patients with the lowest levels. Think about that. And researchers at the Medical Research Council Human Genetics Unit at the University of Edinburgh studied almost 1,600 patients who had surgery for colorectal cancer. And the study is the first to link long-term survival predictions of colon cancer patients at the diagnosis with the total blood levels of vitamin D. So vitamin D is known to boost calcium absorption and bone growth. And previous studies have suggested a correlation between low vitamin D levels and an increased risk of many diseases, including osteoporosis, cancer, and cardiovascular diseases. And the research is led by Professor Malcolm Dunlop of the University of Edinburgh and Western General Hospital in the UK, tested blood samples from almost 1,600 patients after surgery for colon cancer. They found the greatest benefit of vitamin D in patients with stage 2 cancers when the tumor is large but hasn't yet spread. And three-quarters of the patients with the highest vitamin D levels were still alive after 5 years compared with less than two-thirds of those with the lowest levels they found. You see, now let me share something with you as far as colon cancer goes. Colon cancer is a result of a very poor diet, a non-fiber diet. Now, I know many of you out there love to eat meat. Many of you think that meat is the only real food. If you don't have meat on your plate, you don't have a meal or something like that. But I'm going to tell you, meat has no fiber. And then along with that, many of you just eat a lot of refined carbohydrates, which I'm going to talk about later, and those refined carbohydrates have no fiber also. Most of these are artificial foods, processed foods that you find in cans. In boxes and packages. So many of you may come down with the colon cancer or develop colon cancer and have a tumor. Now, I have spoken with a couple people who had colon cancer. I suggested what I would do if I had colon cancer. And I sat with them, I explained a diet that would help them if they would stick with it religiously and certain herbs to take. This is strictly for the colon cancer. And these are people who had a tumor the size of a half a dollar or so. When I sat with them, I explained to them that you have to have fiber in your diet. Now, if you don't want surgery, I'll tell you what I would do. So I suggested a brown rice diet. I found out in my studies that a brown rice diet helps to reverse colon cancer. I had them for at least a month brown rice religiously 2 to 3 times a day with some organic greens and only extra virgin olive oil on the rice instead of butter, you see. I also had him juice. I told him they should juice. I have juices 3 to 4 times a day or more. And there would be vegetable juices, a lot of greens. Also, I had them use carrot juice. I know some people are opposed to carrot juice or whatever. But anyway, they took the carrot juice, they took the greens, and certain herbs also. I had them take and use certain herbal concoctions along with that. And two of those herbal concoctions I had him take was the dandelion root together with sarsaparilla root and red root. These three herbal roots, I had him make a gallon of this tea, 1 ounce each of these different roots, which they would boil in water for about 15 minutes. And then let it cool, and then strain it, and then make a gallon of this tea using distilled water. Also, the other three herbs I suggested was violet, red clover, the red clover blossoms, excuse me, and chickweed. I also had him use 1 ounce each of those to a gallon of distilled water. And they would boil the water first, turn it off, turn off the heat, and then put the three herbs in there, the violet, the red clover blossoms, and the chickweed, and let it sit there for at least 15 minutes, and then strain, and then store these in a glass bottle. Both of these concoctions, along with the diet I recommended, also not to have any other foods except what I suggested there. And I will tell you, both those people who did this reversed their cancer. When they went back to the doctor after 1 month, the tumor had reduced to half the size. And after another month, they couldn't even find the tumor. And they were cancer-free. Just doing the natural thing. You see? They didn't have to have surgery. And because actually, they didn't want to have surgery. They were scared of that. And I don't blame them. I would have done the natural thing. I told them what I would have done if I had had this problem because of my studies, finding out that others have tried this and it worked. So keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. But to avoid having colon cancer, you have to have a diet that has fiber in it. You should have a nice salad with your meal every day. Make sure you have plenty of vegetables, grains, beans, foods of this nature that are high fiber, that have protein. You see? These are real foods. Plenty of water that you would drink as opposed to sodas and things, concoctions like that that are not good for you. And leave all that meat alone. If you're going to eat meat, which some of you, I know you like to eat meat. I'm not mad at you. Eat organic, halal meats. Make sure those cattle are raised naturally, grass-fed. This is what you want. You just don't want any type of beef because a lot of these cows are stressed out in stanchions 24/7, and then when they slaughter them, you have a stressed-out cow full of antibiotics. All this is in that tissue that you eat. You see, and you are what you eat. So I say to you, if you can't find real good meat, leave it alone. There's plenty of other foods on this planet to eat. So you say, well, I got to have meat. How can you live without meat? Listen, I've been living without meat for 32 years and quite a few years before that. Okay? So I'm just saying this. 100 million vegetarians in the world today. You see? So don't think you can't live without meat. It's the way you prepare the meat, the type of meat you eat. You see? Not all meat is good for you. Some of you think you can just eat any meat or any type of fish and you think you're all right. No. Study, research, find out the truth. You see? But if you're going to eat meat, eat the best of meat. You see? Some of you like lamb. Well, you know, lamb is okay. Beef, if you like it, I know you don't eat it. So, but eat the best. Pork you should never eat. Pork is out of the question. This is 2014, brothers and sisters. If you're still eating that pig, there is something wrong. With all that information out here about the pig, why would you eat something that eats garbage? It doesn't make any sense. Some of you out there buying pig feet, that's a horrible looking thing. Some pig feet's in a jar, and you go and buy that and you eat that. And don't you know that's the sewer system in those feet? Yes. All that pus and stuff running out of there and you go buy you some pig feet. Please, you shouldn't eat pork. Those of you who are Christians, your Bible tells you not to eat the pig. You see, the Jews are told not to eat the pig. The Muslims are told not to eat the pig. There are Christians that stay away from the pig, like the Seventh-day Adventists, who are mainly vegetarians, and their health is excellent. You see? As long as you're practicing the dietary habits. Now, there are vegetarians out here that don't know how to eat properly. They may not eat meat, but they eat a lot of junk, and their health is bad. You see? So keep that in mind. Whatever you're going to be the best at it. Whatever you're going to eat the best of it. Just don't eat anything or settle for less. Yes, it may cost you a little more, but it's better in the long run. You see, none of you want to be sitting up in the hospital, okay, all wired up and everything, and you don't want that. There's too much heart disease, too many strokes. I see so many friends dying of stroke or laying up in the hospital that had major strokes and then are paralyzed and things of this nature. You don't want that. And cancer, it's rampant. It's just terrible. A lot of this could be avoided, brothers and sisters, if you just take charge of your health, take charge of your body. It's your body. It's not the doctor's body. You think you got to run to the doctor for everything. You should know your body. You should learn about food, the science of food, what foods are good for you, what foods you should stay away from. You should know these things. You see? Just like you try to put the best fuel in an expensive car. Well, your body is your vehicle, and it should get the best fuel. If you give it cheap fuel, what do you think the results are going to be? It's going to be breakdown. Keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. I just wanted to share that with you. I love you, so I just want you to know that. Another tidbit. Now, speaking about fiber again. Increased fiber intake linked to lower risk of premature mortality in heart attack survivors. This is a study. This is a study, brothers and sisters. This article was published on April 29, 2014 in the British Medical Journal and reveals an increase in the number of years lived by heart attack survivors who consumed a greater amount of fiber. Yes, they changed their dietary habits, you see? And Shan Shan Lee and colleagues of Harvard School of Public Health in Boston utilized data from 1,840 men enrolled in the Health Professional Follow-Up Study and 2,258 women from the Nurses' Health Study who have survived an initial adverse heart event of myocardial infarction during the study's follow-up periods, and you know what that is, those heart attacks. Dietary questionnaires completed every 4 years provided information on fiber intake before and after myocardial infarction. In a pooled analysis of all subjects, those whose post-mal, excuse me for a minute, thank you. Okay, let me get back. And whose post-myocardial infarction intake of fiber was among the top one-fifth of participants had a 25% lower risk of dying from any cause in comparison with those whose intake was among the lowest fifth over a 9-year average follow-up. So think about that. Fiber. You see, everybody's talking about fiber. I know some of you want to go to the store, get your donuts and your cakes and your potato chips and all these refined foods that are packaged and packages. You go to the supermarket and you look at people's shopping carts, especially in our neighborhoods, in African-American neighborhoods, it's sad to say, are full of junk, garbage. Yes. You know, I look at a lot of us don't like to go to the produce department. Now, I see a lot of people from the islands who are shopping in there. They get a lot of produce. I see them buy the fruits and vegetables and things of that nature, and some of the junk also. But our people, you see so much junk, so many sodas and all this stuff, potato bags of potato chips and cookies. And I'm like, my God. You know, you don't have problems. And you look at their face, there's no life in it. Their face is dull, and their skin is dull because of what they put in their system. And then you see pork chops in there and all this meat and things of that nature and canned stuff. And I'm like, oh, my God. I feel for these folks. And they walk slow and move slow. It's just sad, brothers and sisters. It is sad. You see, we got to change. This is 2014. I remember during the time of the Nation of Islam, when I was part of that, back in the late 60s and early 70s, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us How to Eat to Live, Book 1 and 2. And he was telling us about eating vegetables and fruits, and fiber, and things of this nature. The book wasn't perfect, but it was a lot of good information. And the most valuable tip he gave you was to eat less. Eat less. You live longer. You see? He was ahead of his time. The dietary habits of the Muslims back then were great. I mean, they looked good. They moved fast. We were all energetic, you see? And then later on, it seemed like everybody started slipping up and started eating all the garbage again and started getting overweight and got sluggish and slow. And, oh, my God, what has happened to our brothers and sisters? You see what I'm saying? That's why I admire, to this day, I admire the brothers and sisters from the Nation of Islam under Mr. Farrakhan. And I just say I follow. I don't follow him. No. But I respect his followers who are trying to eat properly, live properly, have a good lifestyle. And they look like they have life in them. They look like we used to look back then. You see? Yes. But see, I kept my dietary habits. I never left that. What that man gave us was great. I never left that. I always kept the best eating habits possible. You see? And then I learned more about foods and food science and dietary habits and just took it to another level. That's why I share this with you. I've seen the benefits in myself and also my friends who also kept that. You see? But those who left it alone, just sad to say. I'm telling you, I don't know what to say, but it's just sad. It's sad what we have done to ourselves. Okay, now listen to this one. Here's another study, brothers and sisters. Cinnamon. Yes, cinnamon. Oh, cinnamon is great. I love some cinnamon, believe me. I've always had a taste for that. Anyway, they say cinnamon could stop Parkinson's disease in its tracks. Did you hear that? Parkinson's disease in its tracks. So there was an article appearing in the Journal of Neuroimmune Pharmacology that indicates that cinnamon could one day be used by Parkinson's disease patients to prevent the disease from progressing. Did you hear that? Yes. A gentleman by the name of Sourabh Kasnavis and Kalipada Pahan, PhD of Rush University Medical Center, studied the effects of the spice in a mouse model of Parkinson's disease. They found that when cinnamon is metabolized into low-sodium benzoate in the blood and brain, the loss of beneficial proteins known as Parkin and DJ1 was halted, while neurons that produce dopamine, a neurotransmitter that is reduced in Parkinson's, were protected. So motor function, which can be significantly impaired by the disease, was improved in animals that received cinnamon. So understanding how the disease works is important to developing effective drugs that protect the brain and stop the progression of Parkinson's disease, Dr. Pahan remarked. It is known that some important proteins like Parkin and DJ1 decrease in the brain of Parkinson's disease patients. Now, let me tell you something, a little bit about cinnamon here. The best cinnamon that you can buy, the real deal cinnamon, is from Ceylon. The country is Ceylon, that's Ceylon. If you are to purchase cinnamon, get the cinnamon from Ceylon. It's not easy to find, but you can probably go to some Indian stores and find Ceylon cinnamon. If you can't find the Ceylon cinnamon, get the cinnamon from India, Indian cinnamon. Now, the one grown here is not as potent or as good. It's not the real deal, you see. So this is the type of cinnamon you want to use. And also studies have shown now cinnamon also helps with diabetics. Yes, and I've spoken on that topic before. I shared that with you. So keep that in mind, brothers and sisters, because diabetes rates are continuing to climb. You know, on June 10, 2014, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention announced that the number of Americans who have diabetes continues to climb and are now more than 29.1 million American adults living with the disease, an increase of 3.3 million cases. Yes, 3.3 million cases since the last statistics were released in 2011. And the CDC estimates that more than 25% of those adults don't even know they are sick. Another 86 million, over a third of the adult American population, have blood sugar levels that are high enough to qualify them as pre-diabetic. And nearly 90% of these pre-diabetics don't know that their levels are higher than normal, and that 15 to 30% of them will develop diabetes within 5 years if they don't make lifestyle changes now. So these new numbers are alarming and underscore the need for an increased focus on reducing the burden of diabetes in our country, brothers and sisters. You see? Yes, it's urgent we take swift action to effectively treat and prevent this serious disease. It's dietary. It's what you put in your system. Put the wrong stuff in your system, you will develop diabetes, brothers and sisters. Yes, you don't want that. You don't want to have to take insulin shots or even the pill. You can avoid all that. You can even reverse it. I've had people that I've spoke to, and they told me they were diabetics, and the doctor said they couldn't reverse the diabetes. I said that is pure nonsense. I said type 2 diabetes can be reversed very easily by making certain changes. And I explained to them you have to change your diet. Now listen. Remember what I said earlier about the brown rice and the greens for the people who had colon cancer? Well, guess what? I suggested the same thing for those who had diabetes. I suggested the brown rice diet with the greens and extra virgin olive oil, okay? Plenty of good clean water and certain herbal teas I suggested. And you do that for 30 days, if you were taking insulin shots, it was reversed completely. And this was in elderly people. Reversed, they couldn't believe it, and the doctors couldn't believe it. Asked them, what did they do? I said, don't even tell them what you did, because they'll tell you, oh, that's not true, that doesn't work. You understand what I'm saying? When the proof is right there. I had many people I suggested this to, and it reversed it easily. It's reversible. Anything's reversible if you put the right fuel in your system, put what the body needs in there. Listen, you don't want to be a diabetic because it leads to heart disease, okay? Kidney failure. Look how many dialysis patients are in this world right now, especially in America. You don't want your limbs cut off. You don't want to go blind. But think about it. If you don't make the changes, that's what it's going to lead to. I remember as a child, I always say, when I was a teenager, I never knew anybody who was a diabetic. I met one guy who was a diabetic. I thought he was shooting heroin. When I seen him shooting, I said, well, are you shooting heroin? He said, no, this is insulin. I'm a diabetic. I said, diabetic? What's that? I didn't know. He explained it, and I said, oh, my God. He was the only one I knew of. And now today, half the people he talked to are diabetics. That's all you hear them talking about. Oh, I'm trying to control my diabetes. I'm taking my pills, or I'm taking insulin, this and that. Yes. All the time we see this. I hear it. I hear people talking all the time. You see? Yes. Could you excuse me for 1 minute? I have some yams in the oven here. And I just want to go in here and check them to make sure they're done. That's my dinner. And I love yams. I think yams is an excellent food. It's very good, gentlemen, especially for the prostate. So keep that in mind. Yams. Yams are one of the best foods on the planet. We did a talk program on yams one time before. Maybe next time I'll share a little more information on yams. So this is real food. I'm telling you, I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have some yams. Anyway, that was just a little sidebar there. Because I had to check on my yams. So keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. Please keep that in mind. Now, another study is showing that fasting regenerates the immune system. I know many of you out there are Muslims, and you fast in the month of Ramadan, and you get the benefits when you fast, and it regenerates your immune system. Yes. Now, this study shows that the June 5th, 2014 issue of the journal Cell Stem Cell published the findings of Volta Di Longo and colleagues at the University of Southern California, which found a rejuvenating effect for fasting on immune system cells. They said what we started noticing in both our human work and animal work is that the white blood cell count goes down with prolonged fasting. And Dr. Longo observed, then when you refeed, the blood cells come back. And Dr. Longo and his associates determined that the reduction of these immune system cells triggers the stem cell-based regeneration of new cells. And fasting was found to reduce an enzyme known as PKA, which when lowered, extended the lifespan of simple organisms in previous research conducted by the team. And PKA is the key gene that needs to shut down in order for these stem cells to switch into regenerative mode, Dr. Longo explained. So think about that. How many of you out there have never fasted? Now think about that. Some of you think, oh, I can't go a day without food. I might die. Nonsense. Nonsense. People fast all the time. You hear the stories of people fasting. People might be protesting something, and they may be in jail and protesting, and they'll do a 30-day or 90-day fast or whatever, you know, or just with just water or something of that nature. You see, you're not going to die. It's going to help you. Some of you have to leave some of that food alone sometimes. Some of you say, yeah, I fast so that I can eat that food. Yeah, well, you keep eating all that fast food and eat it fast, okay? You're going to have problems. No, fasting is a beneficial thing that you need to do. People have reversed diseases just fasting. You see? So look into fasting, brothers and sisters, if you never fasted before. You know, Muslims, we know how to fast. And there's some other people in different religions that fast too. Christians are supposed to fast 40 days. They say Jesus fasted 40 days. What's happening, brothers and sisters? Christian brothers and sisters, are you doing your fasting? Jews fast at certain holidays, you see? So, yes. And others fast. Yes, plenty of people out here that fast. You get benefits. You get spiritual benefits also. Not just the physical benefits. So look into fasting, but it regenerates the immune system. You want a strong immune system. You know, most diseases, because a weak immunity. Yes, that's a fact. Because you have a weak immunity because of the fact that you put so much garbage into your system, all this sugar. I always tell you, sugar weakens your immune system. If you just put a granule of sugar under your tongue, it's weakening your immune system. You see, anytime you take sugar, these sugary foods, it weakens your immune system. 50% of your antibodies go down, you see, which is part of your immune system. So keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. Sugar is a killer. Refined white sugar. Most sugars are no good. Try alternative sweeteners like agave syrup, which is from the agave plant, or stevia, which is a herb sweetener that's very, very sweet. Both of these are very sweet, sweeter than sugar, but natural and won't affect you if you are diabetic. It won't affect your sugar levels, you see? And there are some other sweet, 100% pure maple syrup is much better than sugar, you understand? These are sweeteners I use myself. I stopped using sugar altogether 32 years ago. I left it alone. And believe me, when I stopped doing that, I haven't even had a headache. I had maybe one cold in all those years. You see? Because my immune system got stronger. So from leaving that stuff alone, I changed my diet. I used to be a sugar fiend. You know, you got dope fiends and all that. I was a sugar fiend. All I loved was sugary foods. Believe me, I used to eat so much of that garbage. You see? But when I stopped, it was like a new lease on life. I started learning about foods. I started buying books and studying, researching. And wow, what a difference it made. I'm telling you, you feel so good. You wake up feeling good. You start your day off right. You can't go wrong, brothers and sisters. You don't want to wake up with your bones creaking and all this stuff here. You can half get out of your bed. You see, you don't want that. Don't say, I'm just getting old and this stuff just creeping. No, it's because of what you do to your body. You can be 100 years old and feel like a 20-year-old. Some of you don't believe that, right? But it's true. It's true. You see some people 100 years old running marathons, and their knees are fine. Don't tell me. Believe me, there's plenty of centurions doing wonderful things out there. They're not walking around with walkers and all this stuff here. You see, and some centurions around here in America, of course, they might be living over 100 years old, but look at the condition they're in. But there are some American centurions that are in excellent health and are great role models. You see? So keep that in mind. Ah, well. brothers and sisters, I tell you, we got to make some big changes in our lives. Don't just go for the okey-doke and just think that you can just keep doing what you're doing and you're going to have good health. No, you're destroying yourself. And I tell you, it's sad to say, but many of you are going to wind up in the hospitals and suffer with some kind of deadly disease. And you should never want to be in that condition. You don't want your children to see you like that, family members to see you like that. You see, it's a burden on them because you don't want to take care of yourself. Some of you just want to drink alcohol and smoke cigarettes, drink beer and use drugs and have poor eating habits. And you want somebody to feel sorry for you when you start breaking down and everything, when you abused yourself. You see, when you should have been taking care of yourself, God didn't give you this body to abuse yourself. And don't say it's God's will that this is happening. No, that's your will. Don't put that on God. God's will is that you have good health. Everybody say, oh, it's God's will that he's going through. It's God. Don't blame God. Blame yourself. God only wants the best for you. Okay? Yeah, I know some of us may be born with a disease. That's a different story. But those of you who just abuse yourselves, come on now. And then you want somebody to give you an organ? And so you can abuse that one too? I know that sounds kind of cold, but it's the truth. You see? I'm not saying everybody, but some people, you know, are trying to do right, and they may have a organ that's failing, and they deserve a good organ. They might be doing a lot of good work in the community, trying to help people, trying to do the right thing. Yes, give them an organ. But those of you who are out there just abusing yourself and just don't care, and you know once you get another organ, you're going to go right back and do the same thing. Do you think you really deserve that? You think about it. Okay? You remember Mickey Mantle, the baseball player? Yeah, he became an alcoholic, and his liver became diseased, and he needed a transplant, and they tried to push him up in front of everybody else so he could get a liver so he could go back to his drinking and stuff. Come on now, please. I hate to say that, but it's the truth. It's the truth. And I'm going to speak the truth. Whether it hurts or not, brothers and sisters, you need to know the truth. I don't sugarcoat nothing for nobody. Just straight up tell you the truth. I want you to have health. Stop damaging yourself. All right, let me see what time it is, because, yes, it's actually time for me to sign off. As I said earlier, I didn't know the time had changed. The program time had changed to 7, so I have some other things I have to do. So God willing, hopefully everybody took some notes and everybody got some benefit from this talk this evening. I pray that you all make the changes necessary. If you haven't yet, make the changes necessary. Try to live right. Try to do right. You know, just think right. Have good positive thoughts. Oh, that's good for your health. You see, make the changes necessary. Study, learn, buy books, go on the internet, learn about these things. You see, get the benefit from it. So, again, I thank you all for listening, and hopefully I'll be here next week, God willing, to share more information with you. I'm going to have several topics I'm going to deal with next week, and like I said, have your friends tune in, have your family members tune in, your coworkers, tell them about the program, so they also can benefit, you see. Again, I thank you all. Until next week, assalamu alaikum.